Miss Pierce continued to look at it dumbly. Dirk flung the piece of paper down, put his feet up on the table, and threw his head back with his hands behind it. "You see what I have done?" he asked the ceiling, which seemed to flinch slightly being yanked so suddenly into the conversation. "I have transformed the problem from an intractably difficult and possibly quite insoluble conundrum into a mere linguistic puzzle. Albeit," he muttered after a long moment of silent pondering, "an intractably difficult and possibly insoluble one." He swung back to gaze intently at Janice Pierce. "Go on," he urged. "Say that it's insane, but it might just work." Janice Pierce cleared her throat. "It's insane," she said. "Trust me." Dirk turned away and sagged sideways off his chair, much as the sitter for the thinker probably did when Rodin went off to be excused. He suddenly looked profoundly tired and depressed. "I know," he said in a low, dispirited voice, "that there is something profoundly wrong somewhere, and I know that I must go to Cambridge to put it right, but I would feel less fearful if I knew what it was." "Can I get on now, please, then?" said Miss Pierce. Dirk looked up at her glumly. "Yes," he said with a sigh, "but just tell me," he flicked at the piece of paper with his fingertips, "what do you think of this, then?" "Well, I think it's childish," said Janice Pierce, frankly. But, said Dirk, thumping the table in frustration. "Don't you understand that we need to be childish in order to understand? Only a child sees things with perfect clarity because it hasn't developed all those filters which prevent us from seeing things we don't expect to see." "Then why don't you go and ask one?" "Thank you, Miss Pierce," said Dirk, reaching for his hat. "Once again you have rendered me an inestimable service, for which I am profoundly grateful." He swept out.